Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, everybody. Good afternoon, and welcome to another weekly broadcast of Is This the Church? Sister AJ is already in studio. We are set to get started. And let me just encourage everyone to have an open mind. We don't want you checking your mind at the door. We don't want you to be fanatical. We want you to be reasonable, not fanatical. We want you to think today on this broadcast. We want you to use your noggin, your coconut, your brain. We want you to have your thinking caps on. Because in the Christian church, in Christendom at large, many people don't use their noggin. Many people are encouraged not to use their coconuts or their brains. Many are told to leave their thinking caps at home. But this is not the broadcast that would encourage that foolish act. We want you to think. We want you to think with the mind of Christ. We want you to match and vet everything to the Word of God. So without any further ado, let me bring on my dear sister. We have lots of audio today. And so, like as always, you are in for a treat today, as we talk about Dallas Jenkins and his dopey series, The Chosen. You know, the Bible speaks of the chosen as the elect, the saved. This broadcast is not called the chosen. It's called the damned, because it promotes damnable heresies, plural. Sister AJ, how you doing today?
I'm doing good. How you doing, brother?
I'm doing good. I feel good, even though in a couple of hours, let's say about 6 or 7 o'clock, we're told that some horrendous thunderstorms are coming our way, but that's hours away. Right now, it's beautiful. It's sunny. I don't see a cloud in the sky. I don't see any signs that judgment is coming. But that's going to change in a few hours because we have a thing called satellites, and the satellites are telling us that trouble's headed our way. So let's see if that's true. Let's see. Let's see if the satellites are on point or if the satellites are like Benny Hinn who prophesies and nothing ever comes to pass. Let's see.
Exactly.
Let's see. So, but you know, the satellites have better seeing capability than most of these prophets in the church who claim to see and hear from the Lord. We're watchmen with this, with that. They're seers, sure. Okay, whatever.
They're watchmen that aren't watching, or they can't
That's
see
right.
very well.
Right. Well, the one thing they do see is cash. They see the Benjamins.
You're right.
But other than that, they don't see anything else but the Benjamins. They can see suckers, and they can see the Benjamins. That's what they can see. So, all right, Sister AJ, set this up for us.
Well, we're just picking it up from last week where we started to try to wrap up this series and just give some thoughts about The Chosen and Dallas Jenkins and what he's doing with this show. And I thought about Genesis 3 and what Satan was able to do with Eve, because remember also their target audience, especially initially with this show, was women, especially within a certain age group, where and it's the same trick bag that Satan has used over and over again. So in wrapping this up, I'm thinking that Dallas is doing things similar to us with The Chosen, how the serpent was able to get Eve to see the tree of knowledge in a different way after she talked to him and heard what he had to say about it. And so we started with how he's showing that it's good for food, and how with The Chosen, a lot of churches have come on board with it, and they're encouraging their people to watch it. They're preaching sermons based on the different episodes and the characters that they are in the show. Yeah,
of course they are. Listen, I told you The Chosen was for lazy people, especially lazy preachers.
Right.
You take season one, season two, boy, you can make season one a whole year of preaching.
Right.
And then you
well,
take
we've
season
been doing
two,
it for longer than that. So yeah.
Right.
Exactly.
Sure. Absolutely. Of course. Oh my goodness. This is a gift to these lazy pastors who, you know, want their people eating out of the palm of their hands. I mean, think about it.
They
get all caught up in the emotions and Peter, and, you know, if they have a few thugs in it, like in the projects, when I lived in the projects, there were thugs in the neighborhood. So you bring them to church and they feel like they're Peter, right? I mean, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So you have a few retards in the community, you bring them into the church, you make them feel like this other disciple. You know, you listen. It's all made up to just cater to the fans. That's
yes.
it.
and have the characters be relatable to people. How do you relate to this character or that character? Or even how you see Jesus in himself and how you relate to him because of the Chosen and the character that's and how Dallas has created this character. And so, yeah, churches are preaching this. They're having their small groups do the Bible studies with the study materials and stuff. And it's good for spiritual food. So that's what Dallas is saying, you know, buy the materials and do these studies. And then next,
listen,
it was pleasant to the – go ahead, sir.
Listen, you and I knew from the beginning, because they all these pastors do this. They all start a church on other people's money, right? Think about it.
Yes.
Think about it. How did the Chosen get started? Crowdfunding, right?
Right.
Okay, so, all right. Well, we know it's an idea. It was an idea in Dallas's head. But, okay, nothing really got off the drawing board until crowdfunding. Correct? Am I making this
correct.
Up?
Correct.
Okay.
When he hooked up with the Mormons and they were able to come up with this idea to how to finance it.
Correct, because the Mormons were not going to put up the money, and Dallas was too broke to put up the money, and his daddy Jerry wasn't going to put up the money. So obviously, church folk, because that's the oldest game out there. TBN knows that. How did TBN get all those studios? How did TBN get all those on other people's money? All of these organizations, they do it with what? Other people. And then they tell it like Copeland. Copeland says, look, Saints, look at our jet. It's our jet. Right? But
right.
You never get on it.
You'll get shot if you go near it.
Correct. Okay? So it gets started. Now, watch this. Because this is how these pastors start these churches. They ask people to donate to start the church. Then the pastor and his wife, they go down to the office, the county office, and they register the church. Okay, who's the president and who's the vice president?
The husband and the wife.
Okay, and then who are the board members? The children.
Or maybe some of their close friends. They might put one or two of them on the board.
Right. And remember, the close friends are all old because they know they ain't going to be around for more than 10 years, so that this way the kids take over.
Right.
Okay? Okay. So, listen, I know all the angles. Okay? So here, then they say this is your church and you're pouring money into it, but whose name is on the bank accounts? Who gets to sign on the checks?
Pastor
and right. Okay. So then now we have a building fund. But who are they building this empire for? The kids. See, so it's the same thing. And then along the way, here comes the pastor. He writes a book. How does the pastor get on the New York Times bestsellers? Well, he takes $200,000 from the church account. Buys $200,000 worth of books, voila!
Yep.
He's a New York Times bestseller.
Yes.
You see?
And then he takes them and resells them in other venues, so he makes money off of them that way.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So, you see, they say it's yours. It's not yours. It's not yours.
And you find that out quickly as soon as you question them about anything.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So Dallas, of course Dallas wants you to buy the manuals and the T-shirts because it's ka-ching, 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 ka-ching.
That's right.
It's music to his ears. It's music to his ears. He's selling pictures, portraits, with frames on them. He's selling hoodies, wristbands, you name it. He's got it. Pretty soon it'll be socks, underwear, T-shirts,
eyeglasses. He's got the T-shirts.
Right. I mean, you know.
Hats.
Pretty soon it'll be swimming
shirts. Comic books.
Right, right. Comic books, ViewMaster slides. Soon they're gonna, you know. Listen, this guy's gonna squeeze that until he can't squeeze it no more.
That, oh, absolutely. That cow will get milk till it's dry.
That's it. That's it. And even when that cow is on the ground dead, he's still gonna try to milk it. And look, listen, it's not just the American market. He's putting this thing in different languages.
Internationally, he wants to reach a billion people with this so-called spiritual food.
Now, let's think, Sister AJ, let's think about this for a moment. Let's just think about this, and it's real easy to think about this. You reach a billion people, and you average out what a billion people will give to the chosen, and let's just say a dollar. Let's just say a dollar.
Mm-hmm.
You know, not everybody's going to buy a T-shirt. Not everybody's going to buy the wristbands. Not everybody's going to buy the hoodie. Not everybody's going to give, you know, to the crowd. But let's just say on an average, you have a billion people, and on an average, those billion people are represented by $1. That's
mm-hmm.
$1 billion. That's $1 billion.
Yep. Even
and,
half of that isn't too shabby.
Right. No, it's not. You see, they are in league with the God of this world.
Absolutely.
They're in league with Satan. They're in league with Satan. And Satan's going to give them everything you want. Listen, Satan is, you want, listen, you want room service? Satan's going to say, put everything on my tab. Don't worry about it. You just order up.
Mm-hmm.
But then when it comes to your day to die, pay the bill. I want your soul. I want your soul.
Right.
So he'll let you run up the room service.
The wages of sin is death, and eventually payday will come.
It's going to come. It's going to come. You know, I took over this church, right, this country church, and I would say, now, this is just me now. I would say that they have, about $1 million in assets. And that's just me, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, of course, the bank account, there's nothing there because you're down to 12 people, right? You know.
Right.
But in assets, you know, in their heyday, when they were able to do, you know, it's a huge building, huge everything. Okay. So I'm going to the Constitution because they said, could you help us revise the Constitution? So I went through the whole Constitution, and so I marked different things that they need to correct, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, for example, they don't have this in their Constitution, which I put in there. Never give the pastor access to the bank accounts.
Right.
See, that's going to be in there now. Another thing that I put in there, the pastor is to legally sign on no documents concerning real or property. Right? Another
right.
thing I put in there, the pastor's wife can never serve as associate pastor. So I've gone through the whole document, and I'm just putting clauses in there that now they will write in. We'll get the right language, the language that they like. They'll bring it to the why? Because pretty soon you're going to have some people up from New York City.
To keep the wolves away.
There you go. See? And these poor churches don't even realize that they're just open to get ripped off. They're just open. They're open for business. And here comes a charismatic, slick dude, And before you know it, he'll bankrupt them.
Mm-hmm.
See?
Or his name will be on everything and you can't get rid of him.
There you go. There you go. So, see, the church folk don't realize how vulnerable they are to all kinds of scams. All
mm-hmm.
kinds. Open to all, they're just open to all kinds of scams. All kinds.
Yeah.
And this is why, again, we just need to understand that the look, Dallas and his goons, they said, okay, we're not going to do a nonprofit, and we're not going to do a 501c3, and we're not going to do a church, but we're going to go to church folk for the money. We're going to go to them for the money.
Right.
And boy, are they making out like bandits. Because
yes,
think
they
about
are.
It. Dallas gets, listen, this is, Dallas is playing. He is in the yard, you know, where you got the swings and the monkey bars and you got, okay, the whole yard is his. And he's just playing and he makes up the games. He sets up the rules. He decides who gets to play and who doesn't play.
Mm-hmm.
I watched a video the other day. I saw, as I was going through YouTube looking for some music for one of my church members, I was doing a telephone service for them. I was looking for music, and there was a thing on Dallas and a family who makes leather goods.
Yeah, I see that one. The
right?
one that made the backpack or something like
there
that.
There you go. It was
yeah.
only 6 minutes. It was only 6 minutes. So I was curious. So let me see what this is about. And this joker took all their hard work, took all of their work, and they submitted an invoice for a payment of $0.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, what a blessing. Oh, this is God. Oh, no, you're a wolf. You're a wolf. Pay those people. Pay them.
Right. And the only reason Dallas has not really mass marketed that backpack is because it's handmade leather, high quality, and it would be too expensive for him to mass produce and make any money out of it.
Absolutely. It wouldn't be profitable for him. But I'll tell you what he's going to do. He's going to take that original backpack and have Jesus sign it. And then put it up for auction 10 years down the road.
Yeah, right.
As a prop.
Right.
As a prop. He might, listen, this clown might blow all his money because that's what people like Dallas do. He'll blow all his money, and one day you'll see him on the episode of Pawn Stars coming in with a certificate of authenticity. This is the backpack. Look, it was signed by Mr. Ramey or Rami, whatever his name is. And how much do you want for it?
They'll tell him nothing.
Nothing.
We offer you $5.
That's it. Chumley will say, well, I can only go up to $3. I can only do $3.
Right.
Listen, these people, they're so wicked. How could you get a zero invoice?
Mm-hmm.
How could you do that? Now, what you may want to do is you may want to say, no, we'll pay the invoice, but we want to feature you. And we would like to promote your business. You know, there may be, you know, Dallas could have used that opportunity to say, hey, these people work, look at the kind of work that they do, and we want to promote them. If you want something made, why don't you contact them? Their phone number is right here on the screen. He could have done that
mm-hmm.
for them. Did he promote them in that video? Did he give their business information? No. It was all about him.
No.
Him, his little
oh,
show.
Oh, look what God is doing.
Right, to
God,
see if there's some more suckers
artist.
Out there. Exactly. To see if there's more suckers out there who would do the same thing, give up their time for free. Oh, we wanted to do this for the Lord. Okay, then you got ripped off. You got ripped off. That's all. Throw them a bone. Give them a commercial. Let them advertise. It's on YouTube. It's free.
Invite them on some of your live streams or something.
Exactly.
So people can see them. I mean,
no.
You only know about them if you happen to see that video.
Correct. And I got to tell you, their work is exquisite.
It is.
It's beautiful work. But he wouldn't even throw them a bone. That's how selfish he is. So selfish he is.
He could at least reimburse them for the materials.
He's wicked.
To make
they're
the
wicked.
Backpack.
Right. They're wicked. They're just wicked.
And not that I'm saying it's anything wrong with someone giving you a gift, but I mean, with the way Dallas does things, it just seems something off about that whole thing.
Listen, you're bringing in. Look. Let's just say as an example. I'll give you an example. This past Saturday, I did a funeral. I was at the cemetery. I had to put somebody in the ground.
Mm-hmm.
The funeral service guy comes to me in front of the deacon, and he hands me an envelope. And I told him, in fact, the deacon says he doesn't take honorariums. The deacon was telling this guy, because the deacon's been with me now for five of these things, and he already knows I don't take envelopes from people. I don't take money. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So he says, no, this is the clergy. This is for clergy records so that you know the person you're burying and all. But I have the clergy records because he's a former member of the church. I have the information. So I took the envelope and I put it in my binder where I have all the stuff I was going to read at the cemetery. Okay, so I put it there. So my wife on Sunday night tells me, that there's a little old sister in the church who plays the piano once a month. She was a former pianist, but now she's very old. She's extremely, extremely old. And she was telling my wife that she doesn't know what she's going to do because her little piano, her little Casio, you know those portable keyboards?
Those keyboards, yeah.
Right. Her little Casio is dying. So I tell my wife, find out how much one of those things are. We'll get it for her. Right? Okay. So my wife now, she's clearing out my desk, and she goes through the envelope that the funeral guy, the envelope that the guy gave me, the funeral director.
Mm-hmm.
And she says, there's a check in here for $100. And I said, well, I told the guy I don't take offerings. I told him that. So she says, by the way, Shirley's Casio, the one that I thought would be nice for her, was 96. I said, deposit the check and pay for the lady. Get her Casio.
Mm.
So I don't take money, but in this case, the guy he's in another town. I'm not driving all the way out there to give him his dopey check. So I said, deposit the check and get the lady her Casio. Get her the state-of-the-art one. So it was ordered. So I don't, I even pass it on. So, it's what you do in life. It's not about you, Dallas. But, listen, Dallas is just, he's just raking, the dude is just raking in the bucks. This is all about money. It's about records for him. He talks about records, right? He says, we're on record to being the number one whatever.
Even though he says he's not about the numbers, but all he talks about is the numbers.
Right, because he wants to brag. The guy
he wants to show Hollywood that they made a mistake. For not continuing to back him in his projects. So it's
right.
Like a look at me now type thing.
But I don't even think Hollywood wants him. And because, look, Hollywood is more vetting, more discerning than the churches.
Yeah.
If Hollywood looks at these shows that he brags about, that his daddy says he has to watch at least 20 times, listen to me, in the first screening, Hollywood is going to say to him, listen, you don't have a quarterback's arm. Now, daddy has told you, Charlie Brown, that you are an NFL quarterback, but you don't have an NFL arm. You can't read defenses. You're no good. And I just think that if you have a critical mind, if you like plots, if you like to think, right? If you have a thriller, if you have an Alfred Hitchcock thriller or a good movie that's got you thinking, and it's a whodunit, and this guy, I look at these shows and I say, this is stupid. This guy has a leather strap on his head and he's pulling a plow. Well, this is moronic.
Yes. Oh, boy.
I mean, think, listen, country folk would be laughing at that. They would be hysterical to see a grown man with a leather strap around his forehead trying to pull a plow. It's completely asinine. But that's Dallas.
Mm-hmm.
And listen,
and that's
I
was just going to say, and that's the other thing, and it's really blasphemous when you think about it, what the serpent did was say you should be as gods, and the way Dallas is demonstrating that is thinking that he can just embellish and tell the Lord's story any way he wants to, rather than the way the Lord wants to tell it, which is in Scripture already. Dallas thinks he could just go in and change that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. First of all, see, when I look at his three scholars, the Jewish guy, the Catholic guy, the evangelical, if any of them knew New Testament, Greek, you don't have to embellish. You don't have to imagine, because the Greek language is very pictorial. The Greek language puts pictures. Unlike English, which is cut and dry, the Greek really paints a picture. Let me give you an example. In Matthew 15, I believe it is, in Matthew 15, starting at verse 21, if memory serves me correct, when Jesus is talking to the Syrophoenician woman whose daughter is demon-possessed, and he says to her, it is not meet, it's not proper for me to take the children's bread and cast it to dogs. And then she says, now that word dog, right? And then she says, yes, but even the dogs eat from the crumbs that fall from the master's table. Okay, so now that word dog there, there are three different Greek words used for dog. And that word dog there is a house-cultured dog. In other words, it's one of those dogs that you would see at the Westminster show. It's one of those dogs that has only been in the house, has never gone outside, doesn't know what a tick is, doesn't know what a flea is, it's a dog whose nails are manicured. It's a little fifi. It's a little poodle.
Right. It's
right?
Not some mangy mutt running that around in the street.
Right. It's not like the mutt I have downstairs, who when we bought him, we were told he was a designer dog. No, it's not that mutt down there. Okay. All right. So you see, so if you have some scholarship there, you can do a nice teaching. You don't have to you don't have to imagine. Just go to the original text, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's exciting. It's beautiful. And listen, even if you don't know Greek, just go to 25 different translations, and you'll get a better understanding. Just do a little bit of research.
And some good commentaries.
But this guy over here, he's just making stuff up as he goes along, and then the consultants are signing off on his stupidity.
Mm-hmm.
I've never seen that before. I remember when I went to driving school, and the driving instructor will say, "Okay, Mr. Torres, you ready for your driving for your driving exam?" "Yeah, okay." And I was driving, and I was messing up, and the guy wasn't taking notes. Right? And when I got back, he said, "Mm-mm, sorry, not this time, Charlie Brown. Not this time, Charlie Brown." Okay? So, that's the real world. That's the real world. It is what it is.
Mm-hmm.
But in the church world, man, in the church world, they let anybody slide in. They, anybody can come in. I mean, think about it. The book of John Gray. Who cares about John? Who cares about that guy? Who? The church world.
No one should.
The church world. The church world cared so much that Oprah picked up the show. Oprah. Why? Because the church world were the suckers. You can fail with the Yankees, you can fail with the Mets, but your church softball team, oh man, you could be the captain on that team. But not with the Yankees. Not with the Mets.
Right. Right.
See? And we know that in the church the church is full of delusional people, delusions of grandeur. They just have delusions of grandeur.
Right.
They go to these pastors' conferences and they want to be the next Joel Osteen because they have delusions of grandeur. It's just sad. It's pathetic. It's just, and Dallas has sold his soul. I'm sorry. That's why the Pope called them Judas. The Pope
didn't skip
a beat.
Pope had a prophetic moment.
There you go.
Or maybe it was like Balaam where you had to tell the truth.
Right. Sure. Even the high priest, when Jesus was going to be crucified, even the high priest prophesied the truth.
That's right. He did.
The Bible says he did because God made him prophesy the truth. And that's all over the internet that he's a Judas. It's all over the internet.
Yep.
That thing has gone viral.
He tries to laugh it off, but it's the truth, and people just kind of look right over that.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, no, just joking.
No, he wasn't joking.
He
was telling the truth. Telling the truth. All right, so we have this first audio set up here.
We're just continuing with it, the theme, and now we're under the tree desire to make one wise in that buying all the materials and books and stuff. And this first audio is actually Dallas, his wife, and some other lady, friend of theirs, that they are the ones that write all these books and study materials. So this video is them talking about that.
So I guess it's pretty much like Eli and his two sons. It's in the family.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Exactly.
Wow. All right, here it is. Now, we started from the beginning?
Yes.
Okay.
I can't believe I'm going to be writing two devotionals on Judas. I had no intentions of writing a devotional on Judas, and then I wrote one on Herod. So it's kind of funny how like what I planned and then what the Lord had in mind were two totally different things.
And the fact
but
that you
both
seem to be focused on villains.
Yeah, evidently.
All right.
How can Christians identify with villains? You can't.
Well, other than the fact that we're all sinners, that's about it. But it's a Hollywood thing, and maybe where society is, because a lot of people, even when they look at certain movies or TV shows, they make the villains likable or and people identify with them, like, say, Star Wars. A lot of people like Darth Vader. You know, he's a villain, but one you can kind of like a little bit.
Did I ever tell you this story? You just reminded me of something. I was probably in the fifth grade, the fourth or the fifth grade. And in Brooklyn, New York, in East New York, Brooklyn, they opened up a dojo, a little karate school.
Okay. Okay.
So I went to the karate school, probably was there a month, had my little karate outfit, my little belt and the whole thing. So I go back, I visit my grandmother, and there was a dude over at my grandmother's house who used to put a whooping on me every time I used to go to my grandmother's house. And so I told him when I got there after being 1 month in the dojo, I got to my grandmother's house and I was looking for him. And when I saw him, I squared up like it was high noon, right? And he says, "Well, why are you looking at me?" I says, "Because I'm Bruce Lee now." So I went into my, I went to do my karate, and he mopped the floor with me again. Okay. So I went back, and I canceled my membership at the dojo, and I stopped trying to be Kato or Bruce Lee. All right?
Mm-hmm.
Listen, you can't fantasize about being Obi-Wan Kenobi or being John Shaft or whatever. It
yeah.
don't work that way.
Right. Well, that's what Dallas seems to want to do in these with this show, and these study materials and books that everybody is using seem to reinforce that. Plus, it binds you emotionally to the characters in the show as well.
You see yourself in these
characters.
Right. Years ago, Moody Press put out a book because there was hardly any book on Judas Iscariot. And Moody Press put out a book entitled Judas Iscariot. But what it was a compilation of 20 sermons from 20 leading biblical scholars or preachers on Judas Iscariot. So it wasn't a book that one man wrote. It was a compilation of about 20 sermons on the character of Judas, the career of Judas, and all. Now, you're talking about guys like Alexander McLaren, C.H. Spurgeon, and some others. I don't remember offhand, you know. But it was like 20 sermons in Warren Wiersbe was the great pastor of the Moody Church in Chicago. Warren Wiersbe was the general editor of those. He selected the 20 sermons and had them, you know, he approved of the 20 sermons being put into that one book because there's scantly anything on Judas Iscariot. Hardly nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I read the book through and through. It was a fascinating read, sermons, Bible studies, whatever they were. I can tell you nobody wants to be Judas Iscariot. Nobody can.
Right.
Nobody will be able to identify with Judas, and much less Herod the Great. Much less Herod.
I think they're talking about Herod Antipas.
Even worse.
That Herod.
Yeah. Listen. You don't want to be part of none of the Herods. You don't want to be a member of the Herodians.
Right.
You don't. You mm-hmm. anything connected to Herod, you want no part of. Nothing.
That's right. I don't even think Jewish people name their sons Judas, do they? I never heard of one. They name them Isaac and Jacob and all those other names, but not Judas.
Not Judas. Now, they'll call their son Judah, but not Judas.
No, sir. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. All right. Let's see who these people are here. Now, I'm guessing that the one in the middle is his wife.
Yes, that's his wife, okay. And the other lady is a really good friend of theirs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, his wife better be careful, because this guy was in the porn. So,
yeah, I know.
She better keep an eye. Better not fall asleep.
Better not fall asleep.
Exactly. Don't fall asleep now. Don't be telling her to
especially
be bringing him any fishes or loaves.
Especially with Dallas hanging out with the Mormons.
Absolutely. All right.
I am holding this. Look at what this is. This is The Chosen, 40 Days of Jesus. Look what it says on the bottom. Book 2.
Woo!
Because we're shooting now, season 2 of The Chosen, which means that we're officially a multi-season show. And this is now officially a sequel to the first book. The first book has been fantastically received, beyond our expectations.
They just had it in Kindle for $2.
Well, maybe that was when it first came out.
Okay.
Been a bestseller on Amazon. It's done beautifully well through the app. So we've been really overwhelmed by the response to the devotional book. I think one of the first questions that many of the readers have is, how is this a little bit different, or is it different from the first book? Why should I read book two when book one was so fulfilling?
Oh, okay. Well, first of all, so format's the same. The vibe is the same. It's still Jesus's words and his way through the eyes of his followers, which is how we're doing the show and how we're personally being most impacted and just seeing things from a new perspective. But the way it is different, which is a shift, is that instead of it being mainly about his followers and kind of introducing us to his followers, it's a lot about his teachings and what he wanted from his followers and what it looked like to follow him. What does that even mean? And for some of them, it was super literal, like they're dropping nets and boats and they're getting up and leaving their lives to follow him. But there were lots of people he came into contact with who made him Lord of their lives without.
So just read your Bible. That's all you got to do. Bible is literal.
Mm-hmm.
Why you need a devotional? Just read the Bible. That's it.
That would be safer, especially dealing with this, but devotional.
Yeah, just
they're still selling it on the website for $16.99.
It's a 40-day devotional. Okay, a 40-day devotional is nothing. Doesn't the Upper Room put out a little devotional that's for a month long? Have you ever seen those little pamphlets called the Upper Room? It's a 30-day devotional.
I don't think I've seen those, but
they give them out for free. If I'm not mistaken, I'll go ask my wife. They got all kinds of devotionals. In fact, I went to church today, and at the back table, as people are coming in, the back table was filled with little Upper Room, little monthly devotional. Every month we get a little shipment, and they put them out there, and people grab them, and free.
Yeah, I remember $16. Those little I Daily Bread pamphlets.
Yeah, absolutely. No, this is 40-day devotional. What can I do in 40 days? Nothing. I got my Bible if I want to know the teachings of Jesus.
Right.
I mean, I have scripture. And what's my pastor doing? Is my pastor doing any teaching?
No, he's telling you to go watch The Chosen and do the Bible studies that go along with it. That's what a lot of these pastors seem to be doing.
I tell you, this is bizarre. Okay.
Actually walking around. So what does it look like for us that we're not dropping nets and walking, but what does it look like to really follow?
When you say not walking around, you mean there were people who made him Lord of their lives but weren't actual
physically following him from town to town.
For his travel.
Yeah, that was this really unique role of the disciples. And so this book is actually, what does it look like for us as disciples? What did it look like for the disciples after he left? It was, what does it really mean to follow Jesus with your life? So that's the focus of this one.
Who was one of...
What did Christians do for the last 2,000 years? What devotionals did they read? They must have lost out because they didn't have Dallas's dopey devotionals. They never, I guess for the last 2,000 years, nobody ever figured out what it was to follow Jesus. This is crazy.
The people that you were interested, Kristen, in exploring, was there a story that kind of stuck out to you or a person from the gospel that you thought, yeah, that's my person?
I had some people in mind and some ideas in mind, and I just got stuck on Judas and ended up writing a devotional on Judas. And then it was so funny because it was complete, but I just kept thinking about it. I kept thinking about the dynamic of the relationship and all the implications of that.
You notice, you know that this has got to be demonic.
Mm-hmm.
Because when you look at the Gospel of Judas, the Apocryphal Gospel of Judas, the Apocryphal Gospel of Judas tries to paint Judas in a better light than what the other four Gospels do.
Right.
And that's why it was rejected outright, because no, Jesus was not to blame. Because the Gospel of Judas kind of blames Jesus for why Judas went bad.
Well, that's what Joel Osteen did in that show that he did. They were like blaming the Lord for mistreating Jesus and Judas and yelling at him and all that stuff. And that's why he turned on him. So yeah,
this is crazy. And think about it. You have the Mormons who kind of favor Lucifer because Lucifer and Jesus were brothers.
Right.
And then now you have this woman wanting to do a I felt led to Judas. Judas? Well, maybe she's prophetic. Maybe she's letting Dallas's wife know
that we're all,
you know,
Judases here.
There's some Judases here,
mm-hmm,
that you don't know about, Miss Fishes and Loaves. Wow.
That had. And how that affects us today. And I'm like, I can't believe I'm going to be writing two devotionals on Judas. I had no intentions of writing a devotional on Judas. And then I wrote one on Herod. So it's kind of funny how like what I planned and then what, you know, the Lord had in mind were two totally different things.
In fact,
you
seem to be focused on villains.
yeah, evidently. And but those like impacted me personally. Well, the Herod one actually was really interesting. It was a really different take. Talk about that. Because the whole notion of how we don't relate to him at all, but you found a way to actually relate to him. Yeah, he's an interesting guy that we shouldn't relate to. But it was really interesting reading about him because he was drawn to John the Baptist. And here he's Herod. That relationship and that dynamic and how it went so woefully wrong and how his, you know, decision, how it affected everything. And same with Judas. And so I guess that was just a continuing thing I kept thinking about is how the decisions of, you know, look at Matthew and Peter and Mary versus some of these other people that had every bit as much of a chance to follow and had the information and had the, you know, the dialogue, and it just went completely sideways.
Herod was supposed to be a religious leader and didn't follow. So
they should never let Charlie Brown talk. They should never.
Was he a religious leader?
No, that's what I'm saying. They should never let him talk.
He may have
had
some partial, wasn't Herod the Great, like partially Jewish or something by birth?
That's the only
connection.
Well, that's why John the Baptist said, and don't say to yourselves that you are Abraham's children, because God is able
right.
to raise from these stones children unto Abraham. So, no, just because my grandma was saved doesn't mean I'm saved.
No.
Right? So
that's right.
So you have Jewish blood in you. Big deal. So did the Samaritans.
Right.
And look how they were looked at with scorn.
But that's why I don't understand what Dallas is talking about, because he might have had some b- bloodline connection to Jews, but he wasn't a religious leader per se.
No. No, none of the Herods, none of them were religious leaders. Not one. Not one. To be a religious leader means that you have to sacrifice animals, which they didn't do. You have to read scripture and teach, which they didn't do. You have to officiate in the temple, which they didn't do. You're not a religious leader. You don't belong to any so-called religious party. You're not a member of the Sadducees or the Pharisees. In fact, you had a party which was called Herodians, who took your name, but the party was completely political.
Mm-hmm.
The Herodian party was a political party, not religious. Moron, Charlie Brown. Don't let him talk.
Sounds like what you're saying is that in, as you were exploring it, that maybe your understanding of them shifted a little bit. Like maybe it's easy to villainize them, but when you dig into it a little bit more, you want to know why they didn't accept.
Right. For that one, the Herod one ends up kind of being about fear of man and people pleasing. So that was just an interesting take that I just feel like the Lord gave to me because like who comes up with that?
Yeah, Herod trying to please all the people that were around him.
Look, it's like Trump. Trump wasn't for evangelicals. Trump was for Trump.
Mm-hmm.
Trump is for votes. He's a political animal.
And
so
then
he tolerated.
He tolerated the preachers, and the so-called evangelicals.
Right, yeah. He tolerated them because he knows they're going to run back and tell the people to vote for him.
Mm-hmm.
But Trump is Trump. Listen, to this day, Trump is for Trump. Trump is for Trump. So, Mike Pence, you know, Mike has done he's such a fabulous vice president. Till the day you cross him, then you're no good. Then you're a bum.
That's right.
He's faithful to Trump is faithful to nobody but Trump. That's it. He's a political animal, and a political animal is a man pleaser. That's it. Because you need the votes. You want the votes to get back in office and stay in power.
But the thing with Herod Antipas, and especially when it comes down to John the Baptist, which I think is what they're trying to get at here, it talked about he feared the people. But the thing was, he wanted to kill John. But he was afraid of what the people rising up because they considered John a prophet. So he was hesitant to do that. So that's what the fear was. It wasn't that he cared that much about John and his religious belief, what he was saying religiously.
The Herods served at the pleasure of Caesar.
Mm-hmm.
That's whose pleasure they served. They served. Herod was served because Caesar allowed him to serve. And if he didn't keep the peace, guess what? There was another Herod waiting in the wings for that position.
That's right.
That's all there is to it. It's simple. He wanted to kill John the Baptist, but he knew that if he did, there would be a fight, there would be an uproar, there would be a tumult, there would be breaking of windows, and there would be riots, and, you know, people would be mad. And so he doesn't want that getting back to Rome.
Right.
So he plays it cool. But in his heart, he's just full of the devil. And this guy says, he's a religious leader. Well, maybe in your dopey church he was a religious leader.
Yeah, that's my first time hearing that. Religious leader.
This guy is clueless.
And honor the request of a really dysfunctional little girl. And, it was just an interesting, what would have caused him to do that. And it ended up being, he was trying to please everybody and
keep everybody.
Yeah. Ends up being one of the most detested people in history. So that's
right. So that's what's, I think, the core of these devotional books and the core of each entry that we do is finding the connection between us and these people who lived 2,000 years ago. But you found the connection, which was Herod's motivation for doing some really awful things is on a larger scale similar to what our motivations are for doing things. And maybe we don't, you know, execute one of Christ's heroes today,
yeah.
But the motivations are sometimes the same. It's a drastic fear of what others think of us, a drastic desire to people please, and that's what you found.
So AJ, are you into people pleasing?
Well, yeah, sometimes.
But not to the extent that this guy's talking about, right? I mean,
not like this, no.
Right? I mean, of course I want to please. I'll give you an example. I want to please
spouse,
the person I now pastor, but at the same time
right.
I want to please the Lord. So if there's a toss-up between the church and the Lord, I got to stand with the Lord.
Yeah. So right? I guess it depends on what people-pleasing you're doing, but so I guess they're saying, I don't know what they're saying. I'm lost, like we frequently are with Dallas.
Yeah, I mean he tries to make it sound like, first of all, I'm not a politician. I do not have an appointment from a foreign government. And I don't have the responsibility of 300,000, 400,000, half a million people under my control. I don't have to police the guard. I don't have to, I don't have to do any of that. So people pleasing, who do I have to, I'll tell you what. If I treat Benji right, I won't wind up in my wife's doghouse. So technically, I'm just trying to keep Benji happy so he can smile and won't rat on me. This way I won't wind up in the doghouse.
Won't bark when you're in the cookie jar.
Right. Exactly.
She said something about he was just trying to please everybody when he gave in to Salome and Herodias, his wife's little treachery they pulled on him.
Mm-hmm.
Not really. I mean, he was saving face more so than anything else, because he just made this promise
he
to
swore.
Give her whatever she wanted in front of all these people. Yeah, he swore an oath.
Right. So that's it. Absolutely. He had to keep his word. And then he didn't know he was getting bamboozled. He didn't know young Salome was bamboozling him and running circles around him. But because he was thinking about
right.
Salome, and he wasn't thinking about mm-hmm. how she was entrapping him, he said, okay.
Right. But that was just the way to do what he wanted to do anyway.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Because the Bible is clear he wanted John the Baptist dead. He just wasn't
Absolutely.
Sure how to go about doing it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yep. All right. We got a few more minutes here. Between the blonde and the brunette.
As you were digging into
like so many. We don't identify with their bio necessarily, but we can always identify with their predicament.
So, Chosen, 40 Days of Jesus, book 2. One of the biggest things that's different is the cover. It's now a nice shade of navy. I'm a little bit colorblind, so this is navy. Each book will have a different color, but we want to maintain kind of the simplicity of just, you know, the Chosen 40 Days of Jesus. That's ultimately what this is about. Each devotional book, even though there will be subtle differences, and even though we will be getting further and further into the Gospels and into the people that encountered Jesus, because we believe that if you can see Jesus through the eyes of those who actually met him, you can be changed and transported and transformed in the same way that they were. However, ultimately, each book is going to approach these stories the same way. It's 40 Days with Jesus. And so book 2 picks up with book 1.
Like I said, I want a lifetime with Jesus. I don't want 40 days. You can keep it.
Right.
That's it. Why would I settle for 40
days of nothing?
Of nothing. Of nothing. Of two women there speculating. When I can read my Bible and come to the conclusion myself.
Well, they're making up stories just like Dallas Jenkins is doing.
Look, he's got different, you know, he's just got different different ways of just milking this thing. And like I said, I mean, he's got to be – him and his team must be looking at the numbers every day and must be saying, we're making a killing. We are making a killing.
And because his wife and her friend are involved, two women, this will appeal to women.
Right.
Because in more than likely, it'll be written in, on a more – emotional level and more relatable to ladies. Not saying mm-hmm. men won't do it too, but I'm looking at on the web page, the gifts page, and I'm seeing more females writing reviews on this thing than men. It's a couple guys in here, but it's mostly females.
Sure. Their target audience. Hand out, listen, one of those books should come with a box of Kleenex. That's it. just put a box of Kleenex in there. And it is what it is, you know. That lady, it's interesting that lady writes about Judas and Herod. I'm just saying, keep your eyes peeled. Keep your eyes peeled on your friend there.
Judas is a betrayer.
That's right.
And Herod
is
what he was.
Absolutely. All right, we got audio too. Go ahead.
Okay, well, what this is will speak to is she took and took of the fruit and ate. Going back to Eve, and what this speaks to is how Dallas encourages us to binge Jesus. And so this is a short clip on that.
Okay, now do you want me to start at a specific place or right at the beginning?
At the beginning, it's just a little short video.
Okay, here it is.
So just the other day, my family and I were on a road trip from Illinois to Texas. The reason? Because my family and I are now going to live in Texas, and as I speak to you now, I'm on Texas soil. This part of the Salvation Army campground is actually the set of The Chosen. And you can see behind me where we actually filmed the Sermon on the Mount from season 2. Now, at one point on our trip, we stopped at a Chick-fil-A in Joplin, Missouri, because we like things that are awesome, and I happened to be recognized by a woman who worked there. She was in her 80s, and after sharing her thoughts on the show, she said, I did whatever that word is you call it, where you watch all the episodes at one time. And I said, binge? She said, yeah, I binged it. I binged Jesus, like you say. Now, what struck me about what she said is it reminded me that the common use of the term binge is relatively new. For most of this woman's life, she never even had the opportunity to watch many episodes of a show back to back. And for most of her life, binge has actually had a negative connotation. If you look up binge in a dictionary, you'll probably see some form of the phrase excessive indulgence, or to indulge to excess. It's usually associated with alcohol or unhealthy food, and even the popular use of the term now with TV isn't always a good thing. In short, it's usually a compulsion. But like most words, just because it's usually associated with something bad doesn't mean it's inherently bad. So when I found myself binge-watching a bunch of shows a few years ago with my wife Amanda, I thought, why has there never been a multi-season show about Jesus? If so many other shows can be bingeable, including shows that aren't exactly healthy, why can't a show about Jesus be bingeable? Doesn't Jesus deserve a binge-worthy show? I actually said those words multiple times to my wife, and maybe to myself out loud. It's how I process. So thankfully, when we first launched The Chosen, we noticed that people who watched the show became pretty passionate about it, and sure enough, binge-watched it, often repeatedly. In fact, some people watched it dozens of times, and we thought, this is really a case where binging is a good thing. If you're going to excessively indulge in anything, if you're going to binge anything, it should be Jesus, right? Of course, when it's Jesus, it's never excessive, but you get the point. And that's when we started saying binge Jesus on social media, and it stuck, and it became a call to action for many people. Of course, this phrase isn't just about the show. there's way more to Jesus and his teachings and his impact than what's in our show, obviously. Binge Jesus is a fun phrase associated with The Chosen, but this is just a TV show. What's really cool is what we're hearing over and over, literally every day, from people all over the world, that their compulsion, their excessive indulgence, is with more than the show, that they're reading their Bibles more than ever, and that they're more passionate about God than ever before. For example, Mark on Facebook said, "Thanks, guys, for making this accessible for me. I am back on reading my Bible because the story that you created here is amazing and colorful, and especially it catches my curiosity." Shandy1964 on Instagram said, "Since watching The Chosen, a light was lit. I decided to go back to church. I am talking to God again, either spoken or written in my journal." That's what Binge Jesus is really all about, and why you're seeing it on clothing and as a hashtag on social media. Now, I'm going to be upfront with you. Yes, the sales of Binge Jesus stuff like shirts and hoodies and hats and whatnot go towards our show, whether it's for our marketing efforts and personnel or for future episodes and seasons. It's an obvious need in our desire to reach 1 billion people with the authentic Jesus. But there are many ways to satisfy that need. What we love about this specific initiative, this specific phrase, is that more than almost any other messaging we've used, it turns heads and starts conversations, either online or in person. For example, Barbara on Facebook told us, "Blessed beyond measure this morning when a lady saw my Binge Jesus shirt in a store and asked me about it. She asked where I got it, and I pointed to the title of the show and asked, 'Have you seen The Chosen?' She hadn't. Led to a big discussion about how wonderful it is and how you can download the app, which we did in her phone right there in the store." Now, that's cool, of course, but more than anything else, for us, this phrase has far more depth and meaning than just a fun call to action. These two words together say so much, and they represent quite a bit of what The Chosen is all about. So I hope you'll continue to Binge Jesus in far more ways than just the show, and that you'll encourage others to do the same.
Well, what say you about this audio?
At first, the idea of binge, it looks like he's redefining what that means, first of all. Plus the T-shirts and everything is about making money, like you always say, plus it's free advertising. But even though Jesus sometimes called himself the bread of life, he used language like that, is binging really what he had in mind when it came down to our relationship with him?
No, because the relationship with the Lord is to be daily. When I think of binging, like, for example, my wife will say, we're watching a show. She says, "We've already missed episode 4, 5, and 6. And she'll say, "Are we going to watch them all together?" I said, "Well, right, if we start episode 4, I'm going to be snoring in 5 minutes." So, you know, you can watch it, but I'm going to be having me some Z's. So, yeah, the idea is when you binge, the idea is that you've missed in between. You haven't had a consistency. So I don't want to binge Jesus. I want to walk with Jesus every day. To binge him, because first of all, Jesus, let's think for a moment. Jesus did not give his disciples all 3 years in 5 minutes.
No.
He didn't do that, right? So he gave them piecemeal, little by little. Even if you watched all these episodes that Dallas wants you to binge, you're still not going to know Jesus.
Right.
Right? Because
you're not really binging the real Jesus anyway. It's his made-up Jesus.
Right. And even if, you know, the thing is, Jesus did not take all 3 years of the apostles' experience with him and compress it to a week or a month, because you don't get anything from, you know, it was my argument. I had a friend who used to do speed reading. He did the Eleanor Wood speeding dynamics and all that. So he was doing speed reading and I was just doing regular, you know, turtle reading. You know, I was the tortoise. He was the hare.
Right.
Right. And then, mm-hmm. you know, so he did the speed reading and, you know, and then later on he's asking me questions. I said, but didn't you read it? He said, well, I was speed reading. So what is
right.
speed reading? You know, so, yeah, I'd rather, you know, when you binge on anything, you get upset stomach. You know, you
it's
get indigestion.
It's too much for you to take in and process it properly, just like
you
what you're saying with food. Mm-hmm.
Right, right, right. So, no. See, Jesus is not like a television series. You pick a television series, Perry Mason or whatever. The life and the ministry mm-hmm. of Christ is not like you binging, you know, Alfred Hitchcock, you know, Presents or The Twilight Zone.
Right.
You know, no. Because it has spiritual and eternal implications. You can't go through this stuff fast. You can't binge it.
And the Lord wants us to understand it. You know, he says, come, let us reason together. It's let's look at this. Let's talk. Let's process this together.
Correct.
And you
Correct.
Might, and depending on what you're reading, you might only get through maybe a few verses, and you're like, oh, Lord, I got to sit back and think about this one.
It's marketing. It's money. He's plastered it
yes.
on everything. He's plastered that Ben Jesus on everything. And it's
mm-hmm.
been one of his best catchphrases as
yes.
far as selling stuff, right? I mean, and you see somebody
yes.
walking down the street and you see that thing, Binge Jesus, and then you get on a bus and somebody has a Binge Jesus, then you know, you go to the library and there's somebody with Binge. You're going to Google it and then find out what it's. So like you said, it's free advertising,
mm-hmm.
which you paid through the nose.
Yep.
Because all that stuff ain't cheap.
No, one of these hoodies is like $44.99. I'm sitting here looking.
And I can go down.
T-shirt is almost $30.
I can go down to my local thrift store right now as we speak in the summer and pick up hoodies for a dollar. Hoodies for a dollar. Now, in the winter, in the fall, they'll put them back up at $5. But right now, I can get all them hoodies that I want right now for a dollar.
Mm-hmm.
So why would I pay $44 for it? And I can write on it, Binge Jesus, if I want to. I can spray paint it on there.
But it won't be this great quality. Ooh.
I know. It's
real
not
fleece.
No. No, it's not. No, it's not Charlie Brown quality.
It's fleece, all right.
Absolutely.
Fleece
listen, I'm
the
not
flock.
Against. Right, I'm not against. Look, you go to Walmart, right? For Father's Day, before Father's Day, my kids wanted to get me something for Father's Day, right? So I said, okay, come with me to Walmart, and I went to this place where they had T-shirts, right? And I said to my kids, I like this one. I like this one. I picked out four because I got four kids, right? And then I said to my wife, you get me a pair of socks. So they all got me a T-shirt for $8.88. They had them at Walmart for $8.88. T-shirts, the ones that I like.
Right.
I didn't have to spend $30 on a T-shirt. I got it for $8 at Walmart. $8. So why would I be stupid enough to buy something that's $30? That's ridiculous. Now, I mean, it's if people want whatever they want to do with their money, go ahead and be my guest. But you're not catching
right.
me doing that. So.
Right.
All right.
So could. The next audio is just speaking about spreading this around. The next few audios, most couple of them are just shorter clips, but it's the idea of, and Eve also gave to her husband, and he ate. So it's the spreading it around. getting this worldwide and a billion people is what Dallas and his ilk want to do with this show. So the first audio is actually a clip from a CBN, Christian Broadcasting Network, a report on the Chosen. It when Jonathan Rumi was over there in France, and they were actually promoting the show over there. And so this is about 4 minutes, I think, audio number 3.
All righty, here it is.
The experience of playing was just made me want to be more like him.
Walking along Paris' famed Champs-Élysées this week, actor Jonathan Rumi.
I have something that's open to all people. Get up and walk.
If he was supposed to be healed, God would have done it himself.
That's an interesting point.
Who plays Jesus in the television series The Chosen.
You have certainly livened things up around here.
Worked out as fast.
Tells CBN News that he's humbled by how God is using the show to touch millions of people around the world.
Do you often pinch yourself realizing the magnitude of the role that you're playing and how well the show has done?
I don't know if I pinch myself. I more bow my head to the ground because I never feel that I'm worthy of the things that are happening as a result.
Je suis vraiment navré, mais je ne sais même pas ton nom.
Je suis Jésus.
3 years after its premiere episode, the series now hits television screens for the first time across France, airing on one of this country's top TV channels.
To be on a major network is a first. We love our platform. We love having a free app that's available to the whole world. But to be embraced by Canal Plus has been such an honor.
Rumi and cast members joined some 500 people for a showing of The Chosen at this Paris movie theater ahead of next week's broadcast, many watching it for the first time.
The intimacy between the disciple and Jesus is very intimate.
It was different from other films about Jesus. It was just fantastic, I can say.
I make a way for people to access that kingdom.
The Chosen is the first ever multi-season TV show about the life of Jesus. And even though it's free to watch on their app, fans have given more than $40 million towards the production budget, making it the largest crowd-funded media venture in entertainment history.
16 episodes of The Chosen have so far been translated into 50 languages. And as of today's taping, more than 321 million people around the world have watched the television series.
Angel Studios, which handles distribution, plans to dub the series in the top 25 languages that are spoken in the world, with hopes of initially reaching a billion people.
We can't reach a billion in just in English. So to reach a billion people, we have to unlock more languages.
Eric Sellerier, one of France's prominent evangelicals, is praying the show will unlock hearts and minds of his countrymen.
My hope is that people will connect not with the show, but with Jesus through the characters in the show.
Sellerier has mobilized hundreds of French pastors and Catholic leaders to hold follow-up ministry and discipleship programs over the course of The Chosen's 7-season broadcast. An additional 3,500 Christians have volunteered to hold small groups in their homes and other locations to discuss the series.
We are preparing the fields, we are preparing the hearts with season one, but I hope that season after season, people will connect more and more with Jesus.
Well, I mean, I think
that's Rumi's prayer as well, posting on Instagram that he believes God is tilling the soil and sowing seeds for a fertile revival.
Is that what you hope will happen as a result of the showing of The Chosen?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's already happening, and I think we're an additional element of that story.
On est obligé de se poser des questions.
I'm just honored to be a part of it.
Ce voyage va être très pénible pour nous tous.
George Thomas, CBN News, Paris.
Wow, so there's a French evangelical leader setting up Bible studies with Catholics Wow, what an evangelical. He's another good for nothing evangelical.
It's the ecumenical movement that we've been talking about, that I think that the devil is definitely using this show to promote, that the one world religion, that he's bringing everyone together, because Jonathan says it, God is sowing seeds for revival, but it's a false revival.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, let me just read a scripture here from the book of Revelation. And Revelation chapter 17. And it talks about Mystery Babylon. Now, of course, Mystery Babylon is not Rome.
Right.
Today, because Mystery Babylon encompasses three parts. It encompasses the political, the commercial or the economic, and the religious. So that the whore of Babylon, yes, she's dressed in purple and in scarlet, which are the colors of Rome, but that is not all that Babylon is.
Mm-hmm.
Rome does not carry global political power. That's what the Great Reset's going to do, right? The Great Reset is going to put that's not being headed by Rome. That's headed by the beast. The same thing with all the economies of the world, right? I mean, I have no doubt in my mind that they want to crash the dollar. This is why. See, it's not a coincidence that we have all of this inflation, that President Biden is getting us off of fossil fuels because he's joining the G7
with the beast.
And right, exactly. So there's gonna one day the dollar, we're gonna wake up one morning and the dollar's gonna be worthless, and then they're gonna start giving us a digital dollar. That's going to come from somewhere, right? And so we'll have global economic dominance. We're going to have political global dominance, and we're going to have religious global dominance. So, but here's the interesting thing about Mystery Babylon. It says, and upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots. So a harlot is one who prostitutes herself, right? She serves the pimp, right? And in this case, the pimp or the madam, the pimp or the madam is this Mystery Babylon, which serves the interests of Antichrist in the religious, in the political, and in the economic. So when the Bible says she's the mother of harlots, well, Dallas and the Chosen is one of those harlot entities. Why? Because they prostituted themselves in bringing forth an ecumenical Jesus.
That's right.
See, it's there's many more harlots like this one, like Dallas. There's many more. And this is what we're seeing now. People prostituting themselves, people writing devotionals on Judas and Herod. In all the years of church history, no one has ever come up with the idea to write a devotional on Judas.
I've never seen one.
No one has ever written on Herod. No one. When you read the accounts of Josephus on who Herod the Great was, I mean, he was a tolerated monarch. He was tolerated. Why? Because Rome put him there.
Right.
But he was hard to stomach. He was tolerated. They had no choice. The people had no choice. So, she's the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. So that's what you have. Dallas is just he's just one of the hoes. That's all there is to it. he wants to reach a billion people. Him and the Mormons, they're just the hoes. And there's one aspect, because, you know, Satan has a lot of bases covered. Dallas is just covering one base. Dallas has a, in the grand scheme of things, it's Dallas's assignment along with these Mormons, it's his satanic assignment to leaven this aspect of the church. That's all it is. But the remnant,
drink from the cup of abominations.
There you go.
That
but the remnant
about
won't
in
have
this
it.
Chapter.
Right. The remnant won't have it. The remnant we don't want anything to do with Dallas. That's the remnant. Everybody else is drinking out of the goblet.
That's everybody else.
So, but they're going to reach a billion people. And look at the Mormons. Look what the Mormons are doing. The Mormons are getting translators. They're hard at work.
That's right. This is giving them access to evangelicalism that they never had before. Never. They've wanted it, but they've hadn't been able to get it. And we looked at some of those videos that talked about the Mormons and evangelicals coming together years ago, but now it's even more solidified, and I think this show has gone a long way in doing that.
Sure. Absolutely. The Mormons are all, listen, the Mormon leaders, they signed off on it because they could see that this was a Trojan horse, that this would give them validation. Look, we're preaching the same Jesus. We love the same Jesus.
Sort of like making Judas and Herod not look so bad. Dallas
Correct.
Is making the Mormons not look so bad.
Absolutely. 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 All right, I have board video audio 4 set up for you.
Okay, that's still speaking to this part, and it's talking about the pay it forward, and I'm just showing the perks of it, because for this next season coming up is based on the feeding of the 5,000, and Dallas is using that to get people to come on the set to be extras in the show for that. So this is talking about that whole campaign to recruit people. And then I'll tell you a little bit about what they had to do when we get finished with this. This is only about 2 minutes.
Okay, here's this one.
We want to reach a billion people with this show, with the authentic Jesus. Why we give you these opportunities to participate. So thank you so much for joining us. Enjoy it. We're going to do everything we can to make this an event that we can remember forever.
The opportunity to be here and to be able to be a part of this story and how everything has come together or been orchestrated, it's mind-blowing.
Saw this opportunity and we jumped on it.
And everyone dressed in costume and everyone's been fantastic. Just the love everybody sharing, everyone's been so nice. This is amazing.
I just had this moment where I was like smacking somebody next to me. I was like, look, we're going to know what it's like to walk and wander like the Israelites did. Oh my goodness, like it's just so surreal. Just everyone loves Jesus. It means so much to me.
Country in the world, someone is watching the show, and they're watching it for free because you guys paid it forward, and that's really, really meaningful to them, and it's meaningful to me, and I'm really glad that you're here.
We could not do any of this without you. We love you.
poor suckers. you just got to feel for them, you know. They just, you know.
Right, because we looked at the pay it forward, and that what that is they you pay a certain amount, and that covers episodes that other people can watch for free who may not be able to afford it and all this stuff. So, but to be an extra on the show, get passes for so many days, it depends on how much you give, and the base amount to get that access is $1,000. And
wow.
And that was actually clips that you saw from the Sermon on the Mount thing from the end of season two.
Right.
But it was about 2,000 people that they paid $1,000 a piece to do that. So,
wow.
And in that clip, it showed an advertisement to be a part of this season's Feeding of the 5,000 scene, which they filmed that early this month here in Texas, and it was blazing out there too. I don't see how they did it, but anyway, the way they did that program is, of course, they set up a certain time frame from last August to the 31st of last December, and it says anyone who paid it forward $9.99 or higher, $999 or
wow.
higher between August the 22nd, 2021, and December 31st, 2021, is qualified to come on set. And
wow.
then it talks about registrations and getting your tickets and, you know, traveling. People going to pay for their own traveling, of course, accommodations. And people were coming from all over the world for this. And now here's the breakdown as far as the options. Let's say you and your family wanted to be a part of this.
Right.
If you pay your $999, that gets you in. But then if you want to bring your family, you got to pay $100 a piece for each one of them.
Wow. Wow.
Unless you got one that's one or less, then you don't have to pay for them.
Well, think about this. If you give me the choice, okay, being on set with The Chosen or buying $1,000 or $1,500 of bucket food from Jim Baker, I'm going with Jim Baker. Because
at least
I got buckets.
You might get some use out of that.
Right. Absolutely. Absolutely. Listen.
Will it be more than that if you wanted to bring your family, because it's $100 a head?
Wow.
Your wife $100. And your four
wow.
children, $100
wow.
a piece.
And Benji's got to come. Benji's going to be a camel. We're going to put a camel outfit on Benji.
And oh yeah, you got to put your costumes together too. And they give you, and people can get a booklet or something that talks about costumes and all that stuff. So that those scenes that you saw where people were in costume, they had to buy those and put them together themselves.
Wow. What a scam. Now, here's the thing. Is Dallas paying forward his portion of The Chosen?
Is he
putting up his salary so that a billion people can?
I don't think so.
Like when the pastor picks up the envelope and he says, look at me, I'm the biggest tither in this church. But, dude, you have access to the bank accounts. That's not your money anyway.
That's like taking money out of your left pocket and putting it into your right pocket.
Right. So, okay, so let's just say you're duping people by saying, okay, I put in every week I put $1,000 as a tithe, as an example. Okay, but then at the end of the week, you took out $5,000. So, come on. Man, this is such a scam. It's such a scam. Poor people. And let me tell you something. My wife was an extra in a movie. The movie was with Paul Newman and Ed Asner. You know, Ford Apache, the Bronx?
Yes, yeah.
Okay. If memory serves me correct, this was in the 70s. She got paid $125 a day, and she was there for 5 days. This is 1979, 70, something like that, 78, 77, whenever Ford Apache came out. Okay? She got $125 a day for 5 days. She ain't never seen that kind of money at that age. Now, whenever we see Ford Apache,
people had to pay.
Check this out. Whenever we see Ford Apache, we tell the kids, come on, come on, come on. Mom was in this movie.
Yeah.
And then for one quarter of a second, she's in a scene. For one quarter, and when they say, where is she? She gone. That was it. You missed it. She gone. But, they shoot a lot of stuff. But not everything makes the final cut.
Right. Exactly.
Right. Right. So, but she was there, and then she tells everybody, okay, get ready. It's so fast that in a blink of an eye, she's there and she's gone. I've attempted to see her like 10 times. I still haven't seen her.
That movie was out a long time ago.
Yeah. Right. But she's in the movie. And my sister, her sister was in the movie too. And she got paid. These poor people are getting scammed.
They had to pay at minimum $1,000. And not to include travel and hotel and car rentals and other incidentals.
People in church, they like to get stick-ups. I'm sorry. They're into it. They like abuse. Church folk like abuse. I'm convinced of that. I'm convinced.
Well, even in the scriptures, in I think it's Isaiah, where the people say, prophesy smooth things to us, basically lie to us, is what the verse is saying. You know, so preferred to be lied to and scammed.
Mm-hmm.
The Bible doesn't say that believers are supposed to be gullible and just accepting of everything. It says anything but. Even Jesus told his disciples when he was sending them out, be wise as serpents, but harmless as doves. I take that as don't be anybody's fool.
Right. And these people, and he makes it sound like, you're going to be on the set, and you're making history, and you're helping a billion people watch this, and he's just lying to them.
Yes, and taking their money, because you got to pay. They're getting nothing for this other than the experience of being there.
Right. Wow. Amazing. All right, got Audio 6 lined up.
Okay. Is it 6?
Yeah, that's the next one is 6, I think. Oh, I'm sorry, 5. I got 5. All right. Yep.
Well, how much did it sit? 5 is about a little over 10 minutes. Do we want to
go for it? Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
This is just some more stuff about the feeding of the 5,000, because they shot it recently, and of course they've been, posting little videos about it. So that's what this is, just to show these poor people.
Mm-hmm. Sure. All right. Here we go.
Last year's slogan was the Frozen Chosen. What should this year's slogan be? The Roasted Chosen.
Oh. Feeding in the 5,000 was such a massive event. We get to meet some amazing fans.
And I get your autograph.
You guys drove here? It's like 900 miles.
I'm the troublemaker in my family because I come from atheists.
Play a trivia game with some of the actors.
Five loaves and three fish.
And see the full scope of 5,000 people here. Begins with a cool scene the day before the F5K.
So I heard that there's some pre-cutting and pre-tearing of bread and fish. I'm going to go and see if I could find them, grab some scissors, and cut along with them. This one?
Any soggy fish.
Okay, any soggy fish, and just chop it into pieces?
Why are we cutting up fish?
Well, this is to make it easier for the talent on camera because they had already cut it up. So this is after that scene, so once they distribute the fish.
We are multiplying the fish. Well, I can't do it with head.
This is so gross. Can you believe we're here for this?
Yeah, I kind of can, actually.
It's actually one of the coolest things, because, like, right over there, they're filming the disciples' reaction to seeing the miracle.
I just got chills watching the first disciple, who I will not mention, open the basket and be totally shocked.
It was really cool to see all the props people fill in the baskets with blankets and then putting bread on top of that.
Like,
and
it's so authentic. There's real fish and real bread in the baskets.
Which means those fish really do smell. But putting that aside, this is seriously one of the coolest things we've had to see so far.
And it's getting us ready for this tomorrow.
Tomorrow.
Oh, my gosh.
This is F5K Eve. Happy F5K Eve.
The Eve of F5K.
One of the first amazing sights to literally greet us is busload after busload of all of you arriving. And it was so amazing to get the chance to take pictures with you and to meet you all for the first time.
Happy Beach Day! Look at this. This is the funnest thing I've ever done. For today.
I've never been on a film set before, so this is my first time seeing this whole thing come together.
Special appearance.
You wanted to be here.
Extra
today.
At Feeding of the 5,000.
Yes.
Can I get your autograph?
I want to see Jonathan. Every time he's on screen in The Chosen, I feel at peace. To be able to hear that in person, I can't wait.
Where are you from? Lexington, Kentucky.
How long of a drive was that?
It's like 900 miles. I'm from Tulsa.
Louisiana.
Chicago, Illinois.
Cincinnati.
Maryland.
Long Island, New York.
Savoy.
This has been the best vacation ever.
Philadelphia.
From Colorado Springs.
We're traveling from North Carolina.
Cuba.
Fayetteville, Georgia.
Coming from Honduras.
Wichita, Kansas.
Groton, Connecticut. We drove 1,700 miles in 4 days to be at this great event.
After such a long drive, what are you most excited about being here?
A happy birthday from Jesus.
Happy birthday.
Yeah. Just being on set. Yeah. Just being on set is fun.
These are artifacts and costumes from season 1 and 2.
Where is this from?
This is season 1, episode 3, with children. This is the wheelbarrow where Jesus is putting the crafts he made and taking them out to be sold.
Very good. Oh, this is Jesus' backpack that everybody loves. Some believe it's too modern. Do you think it's too modern?
This is Abigail's doll. But can you remember, Kristen, what she named the doll?
Sarah.
Yes.
What's her name?
Setup. All right, Chris, what is this?
This is Matthew's weapon of choice right here, a spoon. That is a calculator from the first century, and that over there is a tablet that he writes on with, I guess, a nail. I've never seen it up
did
close.
Did you just guess all of that?
I am ready.
Oh my gosh, literally the best wine I've ever tasted.
I've never had better. After we completed our own set of Chosen Trivia, we decided to test the actors' knowledge of the Feeding of the 5,000. So we headed their way with a fishbowl full of F5K questions.
How many fish and loaves did the boy bring Jesus? Five loaves and three fish?
Two fish?
Yeah.
Five loaves?
Oh, he's got it.
I mean, I read the book beforehand.
How many baskets of leftovers were left after the feeding of the 5,000? I'm going to go with 8. 15, isn't it?
Do you think the fish was raw or cooked?
Raw.
Oh, is this seared? Thanks, Jesus.
Last year's slogan was the Frozen Chosen. What should this year's slogan be? Probably The Roastin' Chosen.
Oh, that's a good one. That is the R in the song.
After our trivia with the disciples, Dallas appeared on the main stage, which meant it was almost time for Kristen and I to appear on the main stage, which is super exciting. So we took the fun way around past the bouncy castles, houses, whatever they were, past the cardboard cutout disciples, up to the stage where we did a live Q&A with Daryl.
Who loved Chris and Chris? Oh, my favorite.
It was so cool for us both to be up there on that stage where so many great artists played. But remember, we're called the Feeding of the Fried Thousand for a reason. It got incredibly hot. Oh, so wonderful. To pick up everybody's spirits, there was a surprise visit to the stage from the entire cast.
Today, you helped make this scene a much, 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 much better scene. And to lift the head and see you guys is an incredible and special feeling. And thank you guys for that.
Do you have a favorite character? Matthew's like, well, explain it to me. And so Jesus explains all the things, and
Matthew
says,
then why not just say that?
We have arrived on the final scene of the Feeding of the 5,000 on day one. And look at this. The thousands are coming behind me, flooding into the big field here, filling out all the space. There are so many umbrellas here, you would think that we're in a huge rainstorm, but it's actually a huge heat storm. So just trying to survive, trying to stay cool, but everyone's so excited and just so thankful to be here, and I'm sure ready for a shower.
Behind us.
Okay, have a seat.
He's always interrupting us. Does he think he is, the assistant director?
Have a seat, everybody.
But we're preparing for the final shot. And when Jesus says something and you hear the crowd, like that cheering roll all the way back to the hill. This scene is going to be mind-boggling.
There's so much joy and energy and encouragement here, and it just feels like one massive, huge family.
How has The Chosen impacted you, that you wanted to be here, be part of it?
It was the Jesus I've always seen, the Jesus that loves everybody, the Jesus that wants everybody to know him and love him, and getting to share that with my friends who don't know Jesus.
One thing we've all talked about is how much it humanizes Jesus. Like, oh, he danced at weddings. It makes it more tangible and real to connect in a way.
The disciples also, right?
Yeah,
so this show does
true.
A really good job of giving them personalities and like, oh, they're normal.
I have seen the episode of the woman at the well about that scene with her about 15 to 20 times. And I sob every time I see it, the way he breaks down her defenses, and she's hardened at first, and she softens, and by the time she leaves, she's absolutely giddy. I'm the troublemaker in my family because I come from atheists. It gives me hope that if God's love can reach anyone.
I read that passage so many times, but it didn't quite make sense. But having that portrayed the way they did it, I've watched that scene probably 36 times, so I just can't get enough of it, and just to be a part of that now.
I kind of lost that spark, you know, and when I watched The Chosen, it reignited that spark. It got me back into the scriptures. It's been really fun for me to have The Chosen to gather and invite and bring people in along with me so we can all be on fire together.
Well, what a day it's been with thousands of people rolling in costume. 5,000 to be exact.
5,000 people.
Yes, we've been with the crowds, with the fish, in the
bread kind of stinky.
Yeah, we learned don't stand downwind of where the fish are because it was real fish.
That's right. But we've had this amazing event with music and props for pictures and all kinds of things. But what's so unique about this, Chris?
What's so unique is there's just too much to show you in one video. So to be continued. Part two is coming out soon.
That's right.
Make sure to hit that subscribe button. Hit the bell by the subscribe button so when part two drops, you're notified.
Yes, we'll see you next time.
All righty. Yeah.
And just to give you some perspective, getting back to the money part of this,
mm-hmm.
they filmed it for two days, and they had $5,000 for each day. So let's just say, just look at the people who paid the $999.
Mm-hmm.
That amounted to almost $10 million for like 10,000 people. Not
wow.
including the fees for the extra guests they bought. That was just the nine people that paid the $999. That's
wow.
about how much they brought in, not to mention the selling merchandise, because you know they're doing that too.
Yep. Wow. That's amazing. Amazing, amazing, amazing. Yeah, listen, we got this one audio. Let's squeeze it in there.
Well, it's going to be a little too much, I think.
Okay, all right.
Because that that was the Back to the Chosen Exposing documentary, and I was going to use his conclusion part, but
okay.
I don't know if we got enough time for it today.
No, we have 5 minutes for that. Yeah, that's 4 minutes now. All right,
okay.
I thought it was a short 2 or 3 minute video we can get in there. Yeah, but listen, Dallas is, you know, he's making a killing. His dreams
right.
have come true. You know, his dreams have come true. But, you know, you can't dream in hell. That's for sure.
Right.
No, you can
that dream
here.
Is going to become a nightmare. That dream is going to be a nightmare in eternity.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Boy, what, yeah. Sad.
So
sad.
I was just going to say that as the Bible says, we're living in perilous times now. And as a church, we can't afford to continue to be passive about these things, especially entertainment and even stuff that's supposed to be Christian entertainment made by Christian people like The Chosen pretends to be. So we got to, like you used to always say, put and keep our thinking caps on. That's
yep.
a lost art these days. We can't be passive and just soak in all this stuff. We've got to
right.
be more discerning.
Got to be more discerning and realize that this guy is suckering you. When he tells you, hey, man, come over here and, you know, be part of it. It's like me. Look, it's like me doing a YouTube. Well, let me put it this way. All those preachers that were invited to the Word Network, right, to get, you know, their 5 minutes of fame with George Blumer.
Mm-hmm.
All those jokers had to, all of them had to pay to be on there.
Yeah, George was getting kickbacks.
Right. No, in addition to paying the studio. Then you were giving George some side money too.
That's right.
And he had people. George Blumer had people bludgeoning themselves for that opportunity. Bludgeoning
yep.
them. I mean, they were killing themselves to get on there. And that's what this guy has done here. You know, it's the same thing. It's like when Jimmy Swaggart used to come to Madison Square Garden in New York, and in order for you to grease his hand back in the 1980s, you had to have $100 in your hand to go shake Jimmy's hand. If you got on that line, you know, Jimmy had people on that line that would tell you, where's your $100? You got your $100? Yeah, I got it. Okay. They would go up and down that
wow.
line making sure that everybody was going to had $100. That's the way. And is it any wonder that these guys fall? They crash
and burn?
It's about the money. It's about the money. Great show, as always. Great show. You have the last word.
Well, I just want to thank everyone once again for listening, and we'll see you next time. Have a great rest of your day and week. Bye-bye.
And Saints, don't forget tomorrow, 2 o'clock, Sister Marie. God bless you.